Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it is my great pleasure to welcome you to the festival's 2018 season, Creative Capitals. Time and again, from 14th century Florence to fin de siècle Paris and New York during the Harlem Renaissance, Western civilization's greatest artistic triumphs have emerged from the fertile ground of thriving metropolises. Fueled by the exchange of ideas and the incubation of great art, leading artists and innovators have gathered, turning these cities into cultural epicenters. Music at Menlo's 2018 season celebrates seven of Western music's most flourishing cultural centers: London, Paris, St. Petersburg, Leipzig, Berlin, Budapest, and Vienna, cities whose spirit many of history's greatest composers have helped to define through their music. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. I'll be joined by Artistic Co-Director Wu Han and Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo to offer historical and cultural context and a variety of perspectives on this summer's concert programs. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts.
Built in 1703 by Peter the Great to be a Western-style metropolis, St. Petersburg emerged over subsequent decades as a center of Russian musical culture. It was in St. Petersburg that Mikhail Glinka, the father of Russia's classical music tradition, built his career. Glinka's disciple, Mily Balakirev, likewise settled in the Russian capital, where he spearheaded the Russian vanguard known as the Mighty Handful. In 1862, Anton Rubinstein founded the St. Petersburg Conservatory, which remains Russian music's foremost educational institution, producing such towering artists as Anton Arensky and Dmitri Shostakovich.
Rooted from a young age in Russian peasant, liturgical, and other musical traditions, Mikhail Glinka was captivated by music by the time of his early adolescence. Hearing the Finnish composer Bernhard Krusel's clarinet quartet pointed Glinka unequivocally towards his vocation. He would go on to encounter the music of Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, and others from Western Europe throughout his teenage years. In 1828, Glinka set off for Italy, where he met Donizetti and Bellini, and was subsequently drawn to Italian opera. Glinka mastered the Italian operatic idiom, but by 1833 found himself dissatisfied with composing in a style that felt alien. He endeavored from this point forward to compose in a Russian manner and thereby find his voice. With a fundamental grasp of the lingua franca of Western European composers, Glinka cultivated a musical language that integrated a Russian character with classical and operatic styles. The idiom Glinka developed would be a guiding light to virtually all subsequent 19th century Russian composers, and his greatest works are considered foundational to the Russian repertoire. Tchaikovsky credited Glinka's 7-minute orchestral fantasy, Karaminskaya, with containing the entire Russian symphonic school, quote, just as the whole oak is in the acorn, end quote.
Glinka's Trio Pathétique, scored for the unusual combination of clarinet, bassoon, and piano, dates from 1832, when the 28-year-old composer was studying in Milan. The work's published title is a bit misleading, though cast in the unsmiling key of D minor. The trio is an exuberant work. The Allegro Moderato's second theme in B-flat major is utterly cheerful. The ensemble's palette of timbres has much to do with its character, the clarinet and bassoon evoking bell-like laughter in their upper registers. The work proceeds without pause into the bright-eyed scherzo. The warm largo brims with operatic lyricism. The finale, marked Allegro Conspirato, serves as an epilogue, reprising earlier musical ideas.
The latter half of the 19th century saw the rise of a set of nationalist composers seeking to follow Glinka's example towards the development of a distinctly Russian school of music. These composers, led by Mili Balakirev, were primarily self-taught and drew from Russian folk song and other sources for musical material. A review of a concert in 1867 featuring music by Glinka, Balakirev, and others proclaimed, quote, "May God grant that the audience may forever preserve the memory of how much poetry, feeling, talent, and ability is possessed by the small but already mighty handful of Russian musicians," end quote. Balakirev and his disciples, Alexander Borodin, Cesar Cui, Modest Mussorgsky, and Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, thereafter became known as the Mighty Handful, or more simply, the Five. Russian music during this time was catalyzed by a dialectic between the Mighty Handful's nationalist autodidacticism and a yen for Western professionalization, led by the brothers Anton and Nikolai Rubinstein. Anton Rubinstein, one of his generation's foremost pianists, as well as a noted composer and conductor, founded the St. Petersburg Conservatory in 1862, where Tchaikovsky became his prized pupil. Nikolai founded the Moscow Conservatory 4 years later and recruited the newly graduated Tchaikovsky to serve on the faculty. Despite their divergent philosophies, the nationalist camp nevertheless interfaced with the conservatories. Rimsky-Korsakov later taught at St. Petersburg, where his students included Anton Arensky, the inheritor, therefore, of both his teacher's nationalist soul and the Rubinstein's technical standards. Arensky graduated in 1882 with a gold medal and was immediately appointed professor of harmony and counterpoint at the Moscow Conservatory, where his students included Rachmaninoff, Scriabin, and Reinhold Gleyre. His relocation to Moscow moreover brought him into the social and professional circles of Tchaikovsky and Sergei Taneyev. Arensky's output reflects a broad range of influence, both classically Western and traditionally Russian. His piano concerto betrays a fascination with Chopin, The Piano Trio No. 1 in D minor, Opus 32, audibly nods to the D minor trio of Mendelssohn. Elsewhere in his catalog, as in the Quartet in A minor, Opus 35, for violin, viola, and two cellos, elements of Russian folk song and liturgical music emerge.
Arensky composed the quartet in 1894 in memoriam Tchaikovsky, who had died the previous year. As befitting a work mourning the loss of a beloved mentor figure, the quartet exudes deeply felt melancholy, nostalgia, and at the end, exultation in celebration of a national hero. The quartet moreover reflects, in subtle and sophisticated fashion, Arensky's particular Russianness. The work's opening theme is based on Russian Orthodox chant. Its peculiar instrumentation, inverting the traditional string quartet with one violin and two cellos, lends the music a dark solemnity. The moderato steadily builds from this intrinsically Russian foundation to a rhapsodic polyphonic texture. Near the movement's end, each instrument plays double stops, creating the illusion of a string octet. The quartet's second movement pays most explicit homage to Tchaikovsky. It is a set of variations on Tchaikovsky's Legend from his Songs for Children, Opus 54. The melody, simple yet richly evocative, could be a Russian folk tune. Arensky pays homage to Tchaikovsky, specifically to his gift as a melodist, via seven reverent variations. A delicate coda returns to the opening theme, played first in shimmering harmonics. A specter of the first movement reappears, and fragments of Tchaikovsky's theme are recalled before the movement ends with stark pizzicati. The finale begins with a deeply voiced chant taken from a Russian Orthodox funeral mass. Emerging from the movement's prayerful opening, Arensky constructs a fugue, that most cerebral of Western musical forms, based on a Russian folk melody, Slava, emblematic here of the composer's heritage. Beethoven quotes the same melody in his quartet in E minor, opus 59, number 2, in honor of the Russian Count Razumovsky, who commissioned the work. This festive tune was commonly heard at the coronation of the Tsar, an association surely not lost on Arensky while commemorating his musical idol.
Mili Balakirov's Octet for Winds, Strings, and Piano, Opus 3, dates from the mid-1850s, a consequential period in the composer's career. It was during this time that Balakirov rose to prominence among St. Petersburg's musical elite, and the talented amateur composers Modest Mussorgsky, Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov, and Alexander Borodin gravitated towards him as a mentor figure, forming the set of composers that became known as the Mighty Handful. Scored for flute, oboe, horn, violin, viola, cello, bass, and piano, the octet was apparently projected as a large-scale, multi-movement work, but only the first movement and fragments of a scherzo survive. The work may be a revision of an earlier septet for flute, clarinet, string quartet, and piano, now lost. Aside from this octet, Balakirov's chamber music comprises only an unfinished string quartet and a romance for cello and piano, which was completed by Sergei Lyapunov.
The octet begins with a dramatic declamatory statement. The work's varied instrumentation and Balakirev's incisive handling of voices injects this inclement music with cinematic color. The plaintive second theme, introduced by the piano, may be based on a Russian folk song. The clouds gradually part as the theme proceeds, and the exposition ends on a sunny note. The development section begins hesitantly. A single horn note, hands suspended above choir string pizzicati and halting piano fragments. This soon erupts into a full-throated development of the exposition's thematic materials. Following a standard recapitulation, the octet ends with a brief but powerful coda.
Following the 1917 October Revolution, Vladimir Lenin's populist ethos that art belongs to the people was bastardized by the autocratic Stalin regime to justify co-opting the arts into Soviet propaganda. Stalin banned any avant-garde activity across the arts, the 12-tone music of the Second Viennese School, the modernist works of Bartok, and even most of Stravinsky's music were all seen as products of capitalist decadence and consequently forbidden. Dmitri Shostakovich and his contemporaries were forced to respond in their music to the state's rigorous cultural demands. In 1948, the Communist Party published a resolution on the state of Russian music, which officially charged Shostakovich and other leading composers with, quote, anti-democratic tendencies that are alien to the Soviet people and its artistic tastes and composing works strongly reminiscent of the spirit of contemporary modernist bourgeois music of Europe and America, end quote. The resolution demanded that composers guilty of Western formalism reform their wayward artistry. Each had no choice but publicly prostrate themselves before the government. Shostakovich wrote in response, quote, I am deeply grateful for all the criticism contained in the resolution. I shall, with more determination, work on the musical depiction of images of the heroic Soviet people. End quote.
Shostakovich composed the song cycle from Jewish folk poetry for soprano, alto, tenor, and piano, just months after the Communist Party resolution. The cycle's set of 11 songs, setting texts taken from a Jewish folk song collection, constituted a dangerous expression of solidarity with Russia's Jews at a politically fraught time. From Jewish folk poetry was only heard privately until 1955. It was one of several of Shostakovich's works, including the 4th and 5th string quartets, 4th and 10th symphonies, violin concerto, and the revision of his opera Lady Macbeth of the Mtsensk district, whose political undertones made public performance impossible until the Khrushchev thaw, when, following Stalin's death, censorship was relaxed. The cycle begins with the unsparingly tragic Lament for the Dead Child. Above a dirge-like piano accompaniment, soprano and alto keen, sun and rain, shine and mist, the fog descended, the moon has grown dim. Whom did she give birth to? To a boy. And where did they bury him? In a grave. Shostakovich claimed that he was drawn to the, quote, jolly melody on sad intonations, end quote, characteristic of Jewish folk music. The cycle's second song, The Thoughtful Mother and Aunt, is more equivocal in its harmonic character, dancing between bright major and foreboding minor shadings. The alto sings the distressed lullaby. Shostakovich's music does nothing to sugarcoat the text. My son, sleep, but I'm not sleeping. Your father is in chains in Siberia. The Tsar holds him in prison. An equal desperate sadness suffuses Before a Long Parting, a duet between soprano and tenor. The cycle's emotional gravity does not relent. Pallid octaves in the piano underpin The Abandoned Father. Hop, hop, higher, higher. A goat eats straw from the roof, the tenor sings caustically in The Song of Misery. Крыша спит на чердаке, под столбом и сладким сном, в колыбельке спит дитя, весь паёнок нагишом. Гоп, гоп, више, више, я сказал, солома с крыши, гоп, гоп, више, више, я сказал, солома с крыши, Tenor again narrates the aptly frigid winter. My Shandel is lying on the bed with a sick child. There is not a branch to warm the cottage, and here soprano and alto join with haunting vocalese. The wind howls around the walls. Снею The final three songs, A Good Life, The Young Girl's Song, and Happiness, are creations of deadly sarcasm. The Kolkhoz makes me happy, do you hear? My life is so full, sings the soprano in the penultimate song. From the cycle's finale, and to the whole country will I tell about my happy and bright lot. Shostakovich's music provides a bitter emotional subtext, and these brave words ultimately ring false. Audio Notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Mikhail Glinka's Trio Pathétique is performed by the Consortium Classicum and appears courtesy of CPO Records. Anton Arensky's String Quartet No. 2 in A minor, Opus 35, for violin, viola, and two cellos, is performed by Ian Swenson, Cynthia Phelps, Sumire Kudo, and Ronald Thomas, and appears courtesy of Music at Menlo Live. Mili Balakirev's Octet for Winds, Strings, and Piano, Opus 3, is performed by the London Concord Ensemble, and appears courtesy of Orchid Classics. Dmitri Shostakovich's From Jewish Folk Poetry is performed by Dina Kuznetsova, Irina Mishura, Roger Honeywell, and Gilbert Kalish, and appears courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Audio Notes are a copyrighted production of Artist Led.